Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We've seen some comments from a bunch of Rob Gronkowski's teammates, most of them on Instagram, have sent out a lot of things. Josh Gordon, I saw Martellus Bennett added one today. Yeah. Julian Edelman, Tom Brady.
A couple of times.
And I saw where Robert Kraft put out a statement. Bill Belichick put out a statement. Josh McDaniels added his today. He said, and I'm quoting, "He was the ideal football player. Tough, smart, competitive, and always played his best under pressure. He's one of the very few players who could control the game offensively in the pass and run game. And he thoroughly enjoyed being great in both areas. We will miss his contributions to our offense on the field, but maybe more importantly, he will be impossible to replace as a teammate. I have immense respect for the sacrifices he made to help us accomplish our goals as a team, and I'm happy that he can walk away on his terms today. There will never be another Gronk."
No, I don't think there will be.
I think the unsaid portion of his statement here, and I kind of cherry-picked and didn't read all of it.
Yeah.
The unsaid portion was, and I was kind of hoping that if I ever became a head coach, you'd be my tight end.
Probably
not going to
happen. And as an offensive coordinator, would have loved him for one more season, and now my job is a lot harder because look at this roster. What the hell? I'm sure that wasn't in there. That might have gotten scrubbed.
The what the hell part, especially.
Yeah. What the hell is this group? I don't know if you have a favorite game or moment from Rob Gronkowski, but one of the ones that stands out to me is despite all of the wins that he was a part of, it was actually in a loss. It was the AFC Championship game against Denver, the Steven Jackson year, so 2015, where they really should have had the game at home, but they didn't. I think Brady was the leading rusher in that game. But Gronk was really the only, and they had no offensive line,
right.
And Gronk was like the only guy that he could throw to, and he had catch after catch after catch that you just couldn't believe. It was like, there's no way. And part of it was Brady kind of fitting into tight spots, but it was also Gronk, and they were big catches, like third down, keeping the drive going. They probably shouldn't have had as much business winning that game as they did. As undermanned as they were, they lost on the road 20-18, and it was just, I still think back on that, and some of the highlights that Gronk came up with, like no other tight end would have been able to have those catches and have that kind of game that he did.
This one could close it out. Brady, though, goes down the field to Gronkowski, and he has the football at the 10-yard line. He was double covered. And what happens when you're double covered? Who's got him deep? In and out. Look at that. So, I got him inside. You got him outside. Gronkowski goes right down the middle, and that was a beautiful throw by Tom Brady on fourth down.
With the game on the line, Brady in the pocket, end zone down, and it is caught by Gronkowski to make it 20-18. He got away from the Denver defenders.
I mean, that was insane. That was with like 12 seconds left. Obviously, they didn't get the two. You remember Gronkowski missed a extra point in the first quarter. But they tied it up there, and Gronk finished 8 catches, 144 yards, and a touchdown. And so I know they won a million games, and he had a lot of great games in the wins. He certainly did. Even the most recent Super Bowl, he had a great catch. But that game, he just looked like a varsity kid is playing on JV, and you're like, what is he doing there? Like, you don't belong at this level.
He looked like a man among boys most of his career.
Most of his career he did. Yeah, he did.
He had one vapor lock, the play against Buffalo, that he ultimately got suspended for.
Yeah, I think
it was the one moment. And look, he took so many shots, and
he just had enough.
And he just lost it for one brief moment there. He threw the cheap shot on the sideline. He was suspended. Should have been.
Yeah.
It was the only real blemish. I mean, the I had to throw him out of the club thing. We all thought
awesome.
Was funny.
That was awesome. That was Sergio Brown. Yeah, the Tre'Davious White thing where he dropped the elbow on him and hurt him, and then he got suspended. But yeah, for the 9 years, I mean, some of these incredible highlights that he was able to amass. I mean, we went through all the records that he has, but yeah, there's not going to be another player like him. You know who's actually probably happy that he's retired? Is
every defensive back in the
defensive
NFL.
Defensive backs, and referees because they didn't know how to ref him. Like, he would get, he probably got interfered 80% of the time he went out for a pass.
Like every single time he went out.
And but you had to hit him really hard to knock him off course, or you had to hit him really hard to make it noticeable.
Or you had to hold him.
It was very similar to Shaq, where he would get the ball. If he got the ball on the block, he got fouled every time. And it was like, all right, do we call all of these, or do we just kind of call the obvious ones? And that was the way Gronk was. And then they would go the other way, and they would end up calling offensive pass interference on him all the time, where he just got hit illegally nonstop. But he's going up against 200-pound safeties, 220-pound safeties, and 240-pound linebackers. And he was just so much physically stronger than those guys.
I've already said I unfortunately feel like this offseason is the beginning of the end. And they've had some rough off seasons in the past. I understand that.
Sure.
You start with the Robert Kraft stuff, which is not anything to do with on field. I understand that, but just the feel around the team. How many guys have we now heard of in this off season that the Patriots really wanted, really went after, and they just decided they were going to go someplace
else?
Yeah,
that one's weird. Now, the most recent, Jared Cook. And you can see
why they wanted him. Today looks really important.
Yeah, that could have been a good signing. And also, you think about, you know, last year they had all these guys that left, and then you try to see who they replaced them with. You know, like Deion Lewis gone, but Sony Michel in, or, you know, Nate Solder gone, Trent Brown in. So this year you're looking at Trey Flowers, Rob Gronkowski, and Trent Brown are probably the three best players that they have lost. Right?
Yes.
And so Trey Flowers was essentially replaced by Michael Bennett. Trent Brown is being replaced by Isaiah Wynn, who has never played in a regular season NFL game.
I mean, that's, I think, why they drafted him originally. That was the idea.
And Gronk has been replaced by Matt Lacoste.
Who?
Matt Lacoste, who's going to be the new Gronk.
Is he?
Gronk 2.0, they call him. A lot of his friends call him that.
Did anybody ever? Did Matt Lacoste's parents think that?
No, he actually just retired. Also, he said it's too much pressure. I don't want to play. I'm out.
I'm not following that guy.
I can't do it.
By the way, is anybody going to wear 87? Yeah.
No, they might want to put that one on the shelf.
There are some numbers that even if the team doesn't retire them,
nobody's going to want that.
You won't
want
to wear it.
No, you can't. Especially
as a tight end. The Bruins Florida Panthers game the other night.
Yeah,
and Mike Hoffman, you know, got traded from the Ottawa Senators to Florida. And he's wearing 68. And I'm thinking, you know, Jaromir Jagr wore that to very high esteem in Florida Panther history.
Yeah.
Why would you want to wear that?
I mean, it's not 68 with the Penguins, though. You know, it's not.
It's still,
I know. I know.
There are some numbers. Yeah, I just, I'll go with another
one. Yeah, I hear you.
Nobody's going to want that one.
No.
And I don't think anybody's going to wear it anyway. But
no, don't think so.
617-779-7937. Chris in Plainville. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Just a quick take on the Celtics, if okay with that.
Sure.
Jason Tatum, he went straight from college to the Celtics with a coach like Stevens that he could relate to. And clearly he took over as a budding superstar for the Celtics. One calendar year later, this summer he was exposed to Kobe out in L.A. Spent all this year with Kyrie. Talk about two of the most selfish, quote-unquote, leaders he could ever expose himself to the NBA life and stuff. He went from a kid who got it in the system, absolute star, and all he's been looking at and watching as an NBA kid is, this is what it's like to be a leader in the NBA? Well, the Celtics better hope he doesn't follow them at all. And that's my take, guys.
All right, Chris, thanks. I mean, there's definitely, you know, when you saw some of Jason Tatum's shot selection earlier in the year, I think a lot of people pointed to him hanging out with Kobe.
Yeah.
And then this year, it's funny because Kyrie keeps saying how, you know, he understands what LeBron went through with a young guy like Kyrie. And he's even made the direct comparison that, you know, like, Kyrie is now LeBron and Tatum is a young Kyrie. And then you're thinking, Is that a good thing? Like, is that what you want? Like, is that ideal? And so that's a good point. Like, when you have teams that have young guys, young stars on it, like, how impacted are they by the kind of leaders that are on their team? Not just the coaches, but maybe even more importantly, the superstars. Like, does he sort of follow Kyrie's lead and say, well, this is the way to do things?
Oh, this is what you do.
If that's the case, I don't like that.
I mean, most teams want veteran players to show the younger players the way to go. I mean, that's always been the case with the Patriots. And, you know, you get into that locker room and you watch what those veterans do.
Patriots, Bruins have it. The Red Sox even at this point have it.
Well, unless you think Al Horford shows them the right way to do things.
I bet he does. He at least gives them another example of, here's a guy who's been in the league a long time, has had a lot of success. He's not going to necessarily lead vocally, but that is, I would think, somebody to look up to. Kyrie, not so much. I mean, there's always the, hey, do things opposite of that guy, right? could that be a learning experience?
I mean, would
maybe?
Aaron Baines be?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
I mean, at least he's got a championship ring.
He's been in the league a long time. I would think Hayward could have been, but the circumstances don't add up. And the guys that are young are losing out on minutes and shots to him at times. So that one doesn't work. It's more, no, it's on Kyrie. How far is he going to lead us?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Rich mentioned earlier, Bruins have a big game tonight in Tampa against the best team in the National Hockey League, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They play twice to close out the season. This and the final game of the season, which is April 6th at the Garden. Kind of weird that these two teams will, you know, lock horns a couple of times in the last 7-8 games.
Although
of the
last game of the season, I can't imagine the rosters will look the same.
That's a good
They'll
bet.
Probably rest as many guys as possible.
Everything
Tampa's got nothing to play for.
No.
The Bruins may or may not by that point, so it could look a lot different.
But the Bruins have once again kind of put a little string together here. They've won four in a row. They're getting guys back into the lineup on a regular basis. Over the weekend, Jake DeBrusk came back. Then David Pastrnak came back. I think there's a pretty good chance that you'll see Marcus Johansson back in the lineup tonight. You're still missing some guys on defense, but I think you'll get Grizzlick, Krug, and Miller back before the playoffs start. I mean, knock wood when you say this, they should be pretty healthy going
they
into the playoffs.
They should be. And with a 7-point lead with, what, seven games to go?
Yeah.
That seems pretty tough to lose, right?
I mean, yes.
They should have home ice in the first round, which is great. It'll be a good matchup against Toronto, which I would expect them to win, and then it gets really tough in that next round.
The Bruins have had this you know, good problem to have. When you get Pastrnak back, do you put him back with Marchand and Bergeron? Do you stick him with Krejci? I have said I would put him right back on the top line. I will tell you that that line has just dominated the Toronto Maple Leafs, too.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely... I'm more thinking ahead to Tampa and what happened last year.
Yep.
And if they're going to have enough scoring elsewhere. And the good news is DeBrusk has been better. Krejci's been better. And even the additions that they made, guys like Johansson and Coyle are a little bit of an upgrade over what you had a year ago, too.
Yes.
Just the idea of them are. Johansson definitely is. You think Coyle is? How do you think Coyle has played so
far? Disappointing.
Yeah. You wanted a little bit more out of him for sure. But Johansson, I think, once he gets back, and maybe it's tonight, like you said, gives you a little something. And then the fourth line, which became the de facto third line. Oh, I love the Achari fight the other night. Holy smokes.
Oh, my God.
I think it was, I tried doing the quick count on it. Was it 14 punches in 7 seconds?
Yeah, I had 14.
I think it was 14.
So you know, they're down 5-2. And I give Mackenzie Weegar credit, I guess. He's thinking, I got to do something. I got to, you know, get my team going here.
Sure.
So he challenges Achari to a fight off the face-off. Now, Achari's only got 3 fights in his NHL career.
He should have more.
2 of them are against Mackenzie Weegar.
No, he's not a fan of him, huh?
he doesn't like
this guy?
So they said, all right, here we go. And right off the face-off, the sticks and gloves hit the ice.
That was just rapid fire.
And as I tweeted out, I think at some point, somewhere in Mackenzie Weegar's head, he went,
Wait,
he's a lefty?
Yeah.
Damn it!
Yeah, he did. I don't know, maybe about the 8th punch he realized he was a lefty. It was too fast to even notice what was going on.
He was
just throwing him.
And I do think Achari almost set him up a little bit, because as they approached the fight, he was set up as a righty.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden he did the quick shift, and it was like...
just went nuts.
Now, I understand that there are people who don't like fighting in hockey.
How do you not?
But if you watch that...
Oh, it's incredible. That's probably the best strategy. Like, you know how everybody has like their own like shootout strategy? I think the best hockey fights or the best results are the guys that just throw, it's quantity over quality. And then you're just the sheer
there was
number.
A lot of there.
Well, there's quality as well, but he threw 2 punches every second for 7 straight seconds, and then the fight was over. That was fantastic. So I'd like to see that a little bit more.
And poor Mackenzie Weegar went,
yeah, come on.
What was that?
Get out of here.
So we mentioned earlier that your two winter sports teams, you've got the Celtics,
right,
who are approaching the playoffs on kind of a down note, losing games, giving up fourth quarter leads, sniping at each other.
Calling out the coach.
The leader of the team, the unquestioned top player on the team.
Yeah.
You know, he's the star, is calling into question the coaching methods of Brad Stevens, into question, I mean, his body language on the court. I mean, you know, Terry Rozier takes a wild three-pointer, and he's like, "Oh,
yeah, he hates
come
it.
On!"
Yeah, he loses his mind about it. But that's not gonna miraculously change. And that's why I thought it was nuts when they did do their road trip to California, and they played pretty well. And people were like, "Well, maybe this is it. Maybe it was them talking and not playing video games on the phone or watching movies, and you know, they were all talking to each other. Maybe this is it." Don't think so. This is the same team that we have seen all year long. They are capable of putting together a good run. I don't know how sustainable it is. All that says to me is maybe they can win the first round. But then it's
everyone always going to say, "Oh, they need to do this, they need to do that." Nobody knows.
No one does.
True. I mean, I'm not claiming to know, but actually, you know what? I do know that this is not going to end well this season.
And then you've got the other winter sports team that's kind of got a little roll going here, getting healthy.
A little pep in their step.
Just seem to love each other. You got all these guys on social media taking playful shots at each other.
Right.
Krug and Marchand going back and forth and teasing each other. And I mean, the chemistry on the two teams is so appreciably different.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if it has any bearing on how they perform.
It's funny because right now, if I had to predict, I would say they both go the same distance.
they each get a first round win.
Because the Bruins are probably the second best team in hockey. The Celtics are certainly not the second best team in basketball, but just the way
unfortunately the Bruins have to play the best team in hockey in the second round.
It's just so stupid. So it's really how do they match up there, and if they can find a way to win that series, then maybe they can win the whole thing. The Celtics, there's none of that. Where even if they get by Milwaukee, you'll say, "Well, what happened? Giannis get hurt?" Like there's just after that, you'd still have to beat Toronto or even Golden State, and just the way things have gone, there's no chance.
We have not had a chance to talk about this because it happened over the weekend. It was announced on Saturday that Zdeno Chara has signed a contract for next season. They've given him a one-year contract extension, $2 million base, $1.75 million in incentives, which my understanding is they are very easily achieved incentives. So it is probably a $3.75 million deal. This year he made five. So, you know, even when he gets the incentives, it'll be for less money than he made this year.
Right.
But you've got a team that's got to get Charlie McAvoy signed, got to get Brandon Carlo signed, two young linchpin defensemen on this team. So the captain of the team said, "Well, I'll take less."
Crazy, right? I mean, for a 42-year-old guy who says, "You know what, I'll do what?" So it seems like he's going to be year to year. It's like the old
Tim
Wakefield.
That's how they're going to play it. Yeah.
Like keep going year to year. And, of course, not the biggest contract that was signed over the weekend, Dale. That would probably go to Chris Sale over Zdeno Chara. A few more million dollars going into Chris Sale's lap.
Now, you said you weren't a fan of the Sale contract.
I'm still not.
Because you're worried about pitchers. And understandably.
Yeah.
You know, 5-year deals for pitchers.
Yeah. And I know they can spend as much money as they want because it's baseball, but they obviously know where the luxury tax line is. It affects not only your dollars, but it also affects draft picks and all that other kind of nonsense. So you don't want to go over the luxury tax if you can help it. And so by signing Chris Sale to this deal, where are they as it relates to Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, maybe even a raise for JD Martinez? And I would like to prioritize those guys. I know Sale, when he's been out there, has been great. But pitchers, just in general, scare me. Let alone pitcher, specifically, in this case, Chris Sale, who has broken down each of the 2 years at the end of the year that they have had him. He was the best pitcher in baseball at the first half. Certainly the best pitcher in the American League in the first half of last year and the first half of 2 years ago. But then what happens? He kind of, you know, he had an ERA over 4 in the final couple of months in year 1 and then got shelled in the playoffs. Year 2, he goes on the DL twice. Then he's on the roster for the playoffs, but he's getting starts scratched like a couple of times.
Yeah.
And so I look at that and say, you had him under contract for one more year, which, oh, by the way, he's still getting paid that same amount for this year.
Which actually helps them.
Which helps them for this year,
yes,
for sure. But
luxury tax reasons.
I wanted to see him prove it this year, because Alex Cora, I thought, did a good job of managing him last year anyway,
but somebody,
and he still broke down.
Somebody brought this point up on Twitter, and I have to agree with him. I mean, you've got to think that the Red Sox, with access to all the medical stuff that they have access to, have got to feel very confident about this guy's shoulder. That was the issue last year. He had a shoulder problem.
Yeah.
They've got to feel, okay, we've got a real good handle on this before they go throwing $149 million at him.
Well, if this is the Red Sox, I don't know if that's necessarily true.
You'd like to think that they would have at least... No, we don't need to see the medicals. We're good.
Yeah, so, I mean, they also took a chance on a lot of other guys in the past that did not work out. I don't know, but what's the harm in having him pitch out this season and see if he can do it?
Yeah, I think that part of it is messaging. Part of it is, you know, he is a critical part of the team. Obviously on the mound he is. But he also seemed to be a real critical part of the team, you know, in the clubhouse.
Oh, he's definitely
leadership.
Well-liked.
You know, he says all the right things. He does. We were talking about how Kyrie isn't what you want your young players to emulate.
He's the opposite of that.
Chris Sale is exactly what you want your young pitchers to emulate.
So I think, I mean, I would have preferred have him pitch this year and then see what he can do. Because now you're going to have two guys for the next 3 years in their 30s making $30 million on your staff. And then what's the trickle down? Like, are you going to lose Betts or Bogarts because of this? Because I would prioritize both of those guys over Sale. And now Betts is kind of one of those ones where you don't know what the hell he's thinking. His most recent comment with Alex Speer made me think that, all right, he might have a number. Like he said, so if you missed that, he said, I think this was on Friday, he said that he wouldn't rule out signing an extension.
Right.
He wouldn't rule that out. He just wants proper value. And I don't know if he values himself as better than Trout. And if he does, well, that's kind of crazy.
Well, 2 years from now, he will be.
2 years from now,
he
will be.
If he goes to free agency, he'll get more than Trout.
He'll get more. Yeah, he's not better than, but just all the contracts are going up.
Economics
plays out. But he's talking about right now. So if he wants to sign a deal and get that assurance and not worrying about getting hurt, don't worry about, you know, going back to 2017, not that long ago, where he had an 803 OPS. If he does that, then he's not going to make $450 million. Whereas right now, maybe the Red Sox are offering him $400, and I wonder what the hell what his response is to that.
Is there a thought, do you think, that the Chris Sale contract, and I would have done it, you wouldn't have, for different reasons,
yes.
That's fine.
Right.
Is it possible that the Chris Sale contract cost them J.D. Martinez, let's say?
Yeah.
Because they look at the economics, you look at luxury tax implications. You know, do they say, look, now we got Sale done. We already had David Price done. We can't do anything about that.
So Martinez is interesting because they already have money set aside for him because he's under contract.
Correct.
Right. So
he can opt out.
So
presumably you got to give him more.
So you're probably going to have to give him more, but it's almost like you have that kind of put aside. You're like, all right, he's getting what, 23 or 19 million or whatever it is. I think it goes down after year three. So even if a lot of the reports out there have been, what if you offered him the Paul Goldschmidt and say, hey, get rid of your options. It's going to be 4 years, $100 million. Like, does he do that? And then so it's a slight increase. But the more you look at it, wouldn't you be shocked at this point if Betts and Bogarts continued with the Red Sox? I feel like you're losing one of them.
It feels almost inevitable.
Yeah, because they're both going to command a lot of money. And the Red Sox.
So if you can't get Betts done, and it doesn't appear that that's going to be the case.
Right.
Do you then set about, let's get these other guys done. Let's get Bogarts done. Let's get J.D. Martinez wrapped up. Let's get Benintendi done.
I would definitely, well, Bogarts for sure. Bogarts is up at the end of this year, so I would do whatever I could to sign Bogarts. Now, he only has to wait a year, unlike Betts. So with Scott Boras, I bet Boras is telling him, hey, you bet on yourself. All these teams that need a shortstop are going to throw a ton of money at you. As long as you have a B-plus season, you're going to be the highest-paid shortstop in the game, probably.
See, that's the other thing. How do you replace that?
Bogarts?
If Bogarts goes, what do you replace that with?
I don't know. Like, it's not in-house.
No.
So, I think, I don't know, depending on where he goes, I think D.D. Gregorius might be a free agent in another year. I mean, I don't know.
And that's what would scare me the most.
Oh, sure.
What else you got coming up in just a couple of minutes? Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Download the radio.com app and take WEEI with you wherever you go. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
We're going to go with 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton.
I'm guessing he's the only person who's ever requested that particular tune.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Making my way downtown, walking fast.
Bates is dead on time.
Hold on. I need to regroup.
We're trying to put you over here.
Here we go.
I'm staring blankly ahead. Just make my way. Make my way through the crowd.
I take it all back.
This is awful, Sean.
I take it all back. He's gone. I don't drink him in the car.
Into the sky. Do you think time would pass me by?
Stop. So this was Friday.
It sure was.
Friday on the program. I'm walking by the control room.
Feels like yesterday.
And I hear the phrases scorpion bowls and karaoke bar in the same sentence.
Yeah. You knew Sean was up to no
And
code.
I said, this is not a good idea. This
I'm staring blankly ahead. Just make
As it turned
way,
out, I didn't realize how bad
way.
It was. So now what? He wanted an opportunity to redeem himself.
Well, first of all, people sound, you might think that was punishment. That wasn't punishment.
It was his idea.
It was his idea. And then we said, pick whatever you song you want. He picked that song, so he tried to do a live song for us on Friday.
We're
going to
go with 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton.
That was a hell of a plan.
It did not go very well.
So what happened was, Friday night, he went to a place with scorpion bowls
and a
karaoke bar.
That's right.
And
redeem himself.
Taped it.
See if he could write.
And we promised we were going to play it today.
That's right.
To see whether or not he, you know, just choked under the white hot lights
could
of
be hot there.
Pressure
That's
there
true.
On Friday. So, without further ado.
First of all, Sean, what song did you choose?
So we had a poll out Friday for the song.
Yeah.
And it came down to, I had Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
That's correct.
Or the Dixie Chicks, my preferred version.
Okay.
Or I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
That won. Okay.
But somebody actually performed Backstreet Boys before I got up
there. Oh, no.
So
stole your stuff.
You had to call an audible.
I'm sorry. Did they have a huge show behind them that people knew they were going to be there to perform?
No.
That's probably true. You should have doubled down and
How
just one-upped that person. But either way.
Sang the same song.
So you pivoted to, and you called a hot route. And you
little
had a
little hot route.
New
Orange
song?
Barrels reroute.
Okay.
A new song. And I chose Country Roads by John Denver.
Dale, redemption is spelled S-C-H-E-I-M.
I'm staring blankly ahead. Just make my way. Make my way.
Now, I don't know if you know
I take it.
Shime tweeted out the video of his performance.
I showed it to my wife, actually.
Yeah.
I did.
What'd she think?
She said, well, it was okay.
Oh, no. That's the worst thing you want to hear.
She was not as
okay
effusive in her praise as you were.
Now, musician Razzle Von Dazzle, a.k.a. Ryan Davey, who does the podcast with me on Dork, he is a musician. Now, he had a follow-up. He had a response.
Is this also Davey Eyeballs?
This is Davey Eyeballs, same guy, 2010
Rizzle
vision.
Rizzle Von Drizzle.
That's him, same guy. He said, unless you're taking a sip out of it, keep the back end of the microphone down, 45-degree angle, 6 to 8 inches away from your face. Speak over it, not into it. Simple microphone etiquette. Sleep nights, kid.
Absolute
wow.
Douche.
Yeah, he came after you.
Hard-o
he
move.
Came after you there.
Hard-o
he
move.
Came after you a little bit.
Weird flex, but okay.
It is an odd flex by him. But he's a good karaoke guy. But I love the confidence in Shime. He had the wireless mic. He was kind of exploring the space a little bit. I like that.
I also want you to know that I did dedicate the song to the show. It's just Twitter only allows you to upload like a
so
certain
many,
amount
yeah.
of time. It was a 4-minute long song.
Now, let me ask you this at the risk of being insulted. Was there any kind of a pop when you mentioned Dale and Keefe?
Sure was.
Okay. How about that?
The one person.
Well, yeah.
I got like 3 or 4, yes. Yeah, so
okay.
Good.
Yeah, that's pretty shape. Good. We'll take
they
that.
They probably all knew who I was.
Now, how many songs did you sing on Friday?
I sang 2.
And this was the best one?
This was the best one.
It was.
The other one I sang.
Yes, Dale,
was,
it was. All right.
Okay, just ask.
Leave him alone.
I'm only asking the questions.
I like it. What was the other track?
Not a difficult track there, though.
Oh, the other one I sang was Drops of Jupiter by Train.
I'm glad we heard this one.
Do we have any footage of that?
No,
sure
that has been deleted.
Probably not as good audio quality, but there is 100%.
I mean, this was
footage.
Good audio quality?
This was the best audio quality.
Oh, good.
Well, Shime, that was good stuff. We appreciate it very much.
I hope I redeemed myself even a little bit.
You did.
Staring blankly ahead, just make him away, make him away.
He didn't laugh through this one, so this one was definitely better.
It doesn't get any worse than that.
You could only go up.
That's right.
I mean, there really wasn't a route down from that.
A bar low enough, you can step over it. So that was now, that was well done.
I think we noticed the difference in his voice, though. What changes, you know, the laughing and the
squealing. Scorpion bowls.
Scorpion bowls.
Good point. I thought we were going to have scorpion bowls for the group today. Did we not bring one in?
Keith, I was told
the
there may be a scorpion bowl prior to Raw tonight. That's just
on its way. Oh, is that right?
Just
a Raw
just
scorpion bowl.
Now
Monday
I really
Raw.
Wish I had gotten invited.
Sorry, we had to leave my seat empty. So Raw is at the TD Garden tonight.
That's right. Will Gronk be there?
Both Rich and Jason will be there to scout out whether Gronk appears. I'm going to say no. He's not going to be there.
I say yes.
I'm sticking with no, but I'm gonna you know look around. I'm gonna get down there early. I'm gonna be going through the back doors. I know how people get into the garden.
Scoops Rossi is gonna be on the scene.
We need a new Scoops around here. So
we do
I'm
need
ready.
A new Scoops. That'd be great. So he'll have all the information on Gronk. I will. I'll be tweeting about it. If you see him, I'll try to have a video. We'll have something going on tonight. So follow the show account at Dale Keefe WEEI. We'll have all the latest.
All right, a couple of quick things here.
Yes.
What else you got?
So earlier today. Noted ambulance chaser Michael Avenatti.
Darren Blake.
No, stop that. Michael
chaser.
Avenatti tweeted out, tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we'll be holding a press conference to disclose a major high school college basketball scandal.
Oh, boy.
Perpetrated by Nike that we've uncovered. This criminal conduct reaches the highest levels of Nike and involves some of the biggest names in college basketball. That was followed up moments later by federal prosecutors in Manhattan charging Michael Avenatti for attempting to extort more than $20 million from Nike.
Oh, no.
Apparently, he met in March with the attorney for Nike, threatened to release damaging information about the company if Nike didn't make millions in payment to himself and an unnamed conspirator. He also allegedly demanded that Nike pay $1.5 million to an individual he claimed to represent. He is quoted by this attorney as saying, I'll go take $10 billion off your client's market cap.
Oh, boy.
I'm not blanking around.
Oh, guess not.
Well, neither were federal prosecutors who charged him with extortion.
Oh, boy.
And by the way, prosecutors in L.A. have announced that they will be filing separate charges of wire fraud and bank fraud against Michael Avenatti this afternoon.
Not a great day for him.
Have a day, Michael Avenatti. Have a day.
Not a great day. I'll tell you what, Dale, one last thing that I have real quick.
What else you got?
Duke, top seed Duke, really should have lost this weekend. Really should have lost this weekend. You can't foul Zion Williamson at the end. When they're down three, he takes it to the bucket. You foul him. That's bad. Then on a defensive rebound, you got to get it on a free throw. You can't allow the Duke to get it and then put it back. And then at the end, almost made the shot at the end. Almost had it. So Central Florida loses by one to Duke, but the top seed of the tournament really, really should have lost.
Do we know how the pool is going here?
What's the update on the pool?
I have no idea.
I have no clue.
At the station?
Yeah.
All I know is I'm undefeated.
Oh, well,
how about that?
Well
good
done.
For Rossi.
Good for
still
you.
Got the perfect bracket alive. That's good.
We
got to
get out of here. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you guys tomorrow, but first, goodbye.
Stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Thank you.
We're stopping by!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.